thy great salvation, so rich and free. Blessed be thy holy name, blessed be thy holy name. Holy, holy unto thee, Father above, Lord and Master of our life, Creator of all good things, and a great benefit, O Lord, towards us, because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, Father, that thou hast given. We come to thy midst today, Lord, and bless thy name, and glorify thee, Lord, for what you are to us, and what you have done. We love thee, Lord, because you first love us, and we appreciate all things that you have done for us, Lord. For truly, Lord, without thy Spirit in us, Father, without the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have given it up so that we may be a part of him, we will never be able to cry out, Abba, Father. We will never be able to approach you, Lord, as our God and our Father, one who really loves us, one who is the only true God. So, Father, this morning we give you all the praise and the glory, even as you approach thee now to learn of thy word, to learn of the things, Lord, that you are doing, the thing that you did, Father, in the past, the thing that you are doing today, and the things that you are doing, Father, in the coming years ahead of us. We thank you, Father. We ask for your blessing now to open our minds and our heart to the receiving of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today we are going to resume our eternity and time study. Go to the book of Joshua. You know, a person may have read a book of the Bible, you know, some few years back, and then if he comes back and then read it again, he finds that what he have learned or read of the book maybe 3-4 years back, he will find something that he is completely new to him. Perhaps something that he have misread, or something that he have overlooked, or something that God just threw lights for the readers to understand, for his child to really look at it carefully again. So I want to thank God for the grace to be able to see what he has for us. Joshua chapter 1. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, and unto the land which I do give to them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet, of your foot, shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I shall be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officer of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, We'll stop right here for a moment. I think I should be able to touch upon the first few verses of Scripture. Now we know all that which we have learned so far regarding the man's anti-message. We have used type and shadows of Scriptures to make us to understand, to make us to see the plan and the purposes of God. In typology, most people have taken Moses to be a type of what was to come in the Church of Christ in the last day. We know that what happened to natural Israel, the event that happened to the people of Israel, we can see that there is a parallel or an antitype found in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we understand, of course, that when we look at typology, we know Moses. His name was called Moses, was in Hebrew was called Moshe. Means to draw out from the water. And we know how that his mother, in the days when Pharaoh found out that there were too many Hebrews being born in the land of Goshen or in Egypt. So he wanted to control their population and wanted all those that, all the firstborn, all the child that are male born, born male will have to be killed. They want to destroy every male child that was born. And so, we know that Moses was born when Aaron was about 3 years old. He was 3 years older than Moses. So by the time when the decree went out, or the law went out, for all the midwife, or for the Egyptian to go out and find any male that was born to be killed. So Moses was born at that time. And remember, Egypt always get his blessing or get her blessing when in time of trouble. God always acts when they were in the time of distress or when Israel is in turmoil. And so it was in this darkest hour that Moses was born, and so the mother hid him and put him in a little basket and let it flow down the river. Now, and hopefully that somebody kind of now will find it and will keep it and keep it safe somehow. And of course, while the basket was floating down the river Niles, you know, it flows toward the palace of Pharaoh's. And there was the daughter of Pharaoh taking a shower, you know. Of course, in those days, they don't have what we have today, most of what we have in the house, are showers and bathtub. And in those days, yeah, they do have some kind of a shower place in the palace, but they prefer to go to the waters and the rivers, and like a human being today goes to the beach and take a swim or bake themselves in the sun. But in those days, of course, they used the river, and being that the river Nile was supposed to be a sacred river to the Egyptian. So the Pharaoh's daughters used to clean herself up there and take a shower there or take a bath there. There was that where she found that basket flowing down. And you know, Miriam was actually following that basket. You know, just to watch what happened to the little baby, her baby brother. And so when the basket flowed down, the princess took it and drew it out. And it was then that later on she called him Moses. To means to say, you take out of the water, to draw out from the water. And you know, the significance is very real, because here we have Egypt, a nation. A nation that oppresses God's people. A nation that holds God's people in slavery. And by that time, you already know, the Egyptians all make slaves already. They will make to build, make bricks and build houses and things like that. You see. And so Egypt was a type of the world. You know. And in fact, the Bible also in the book of Revelation talks about Jerusalem. You know, it's likened by God as to Egypt and Sodom. Because spiritually, it's what Jerusalem is. It's a place that religiously makes people slave because of the tradition. And spiritually, because sodomy is a is a name like you, you know, sodomite, to fornicate anything that is illegal, immoral, wrong. And so that's what spiritually they have done to the Word of God. And so the same thing we see in the world today, we see in the Christian world, we see the great one world church being made. And just like Sodom and Gomorrah. They fornicate against the Word of God, and like we see in some of this clip the last week, and we see of course how that, you know, people talk about prosperity and all the false doctrine, false prophecy, giving people the false hope, you know, twisting their mind, make them slave to what they are saying, and they just, you know, pay to the system. And that's what the Hebrew people were doing. They were paying to the Pharaohs. They were slave to the Pharaoh system. You know. And so we see at this time now that the type that we see in the river now, of course, it also belongs to Egypt. It's a type of the world of people. The Gentile world, so to speak. And here Moses was taken out. And we realize that here we have, in our end time, we see Brother Branham. And when we look at the parallel, we see that Brother Abraham had a message to draw out the people from... Now, he didn't draw the people from the world, actually, because he was just an evangelist to speak, to preach the world. But when he came as a prophet messenger, his message was to draw people out of Mystery Babylon, out of the system, out of that which binds, just like Egypt, that makes slave of people to a system, to something which is not of God. And Egypt, that control the children of Israel, they are not of God. They are godless people. They do not fear the God of the children of Israel. They worship scarabs. They worship foxes. They worship, you know, birds and whatever. See. So what we see then that is that Brother Branham came with a message, and he draws the people out of this watery systems of this Christendom, this Christian system. And those, therefore, we see this parallel, we see what we see today, that Abraham was a type like Moses. And because of that, it's so much so taken by some of the people in anti-message to quote what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, "The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me." But Moses was talking to the children of Israel. He was talking about one like unto me, as one who is raised up in the nation of Israel. And therefore people have taken a wrong kind of type, go beyond that and take it out from the scripture of what Moses said, and make Brother Branham fulfilling that word, which we know it cannot be. Because there is only one fulfillment of that scripture, where Moses said, "The Lord thy God will raise up a prophet like unto me, and him you shall listen," and so on. If you do not listen to him, your name will be cut off. And that prophet we know of to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that one that the Samaritan woman recognized. Alright? Now, when we look at this, then here we have Joshua. Joshua came upon the scene, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead, in verse 2. "Now arise, go over this Jordan." Now they were on the east of Jordan. Alright, they have been on the eastern side of Jordan. Eastern side of Jordan, as you know, let me just show you the map. Now, we look at this map. We have the Sea of Galilee in the north. And then we have the Dead Sea in the south. And between these two bodies of water flows the River Jordan. The River Jordan we will say all the tributaries up here in this Lebanon mountain, the mountains of Lebanon here, are actually flowing into this Sea of Galilee and also to the River Jordan, and the River Jordan flows right now all the way to the Dead Sea. Alright? Now, on the east of Jordan, this is the area already, you know, there have been a lot of battle fought under the leadership of Moses. Even as much as they go all the way to Sihon, to the north. So much of this place already were covered by the Israelites. And we have Manasseh, Reuben, and Gad. They wanted to have the eastern part, this area here, the eastern part of Jordan, they want to have that country because they like the place. And so it was promised to them that they will have it. Only that this man of war should cross the river Jordan later on when the rest of them cross over to fight also and conquer the whole of the western part of Jordan. Then they can come back and live on the eastern part of Jordan. Alright. So now we realize that when we look at the way that God have this written down in history, Jordan River means something in types and shadow. It's a river that talks about separation. That either you cross over or you don't. If you cross over, that's where you go into the promise of God. If you don't cross over, you stay. That's why the children, the soldier and the men of war are told that you must cross over with the rest of the children of Israel. Fight that first. Then you take whatever God promises you. And so, you know, here we have, under Moses, the children of Israel, they were not warriors, actually. Practically, they were all there in the desert, and because, you know, all those men of war that refused to believe what the spies have reported for what Caleb said and what Joshua said, but they rather believe the negative aspect of what those other 10 spies reported, that they could not take the land of Jordan, take the land of Canaan. So because of their unbelief, they were all to travel all across this wilderness in the south of the Dead Sea for 40 years until they all died out. Now we already know that there are about 4 million to 6 million people. Estimated, you know, as much as 4 to 6 million. Of course, there are some theologians that disagree that there are that many people. And in fact, when we already studied the first 5 books of Moses, we all realized that there are at least more than 600,000 men of war. But yet, some theologians say there cannot be so many. And they rather pick a figure of about 40,000. He said when all those figures were mentioned to be more than 600,000, this theologian said that it includes those that died. Those men of war that died. And not literal those that are alive. You know. So he said that it's impossible to handle so many people. They give many reasons which I found was not valid. One of the reasons they said is that why was it not that when Moses was fighting the battle, how did he pass down the chain of command? He said, later on that we realized the chain of command was given later by his father-in-law, Jethro. Remember that. But then if you look at what Jethro said and what was before, it was nothing to do with the chain of command. Moses was the leader and there were all those 12 tribes. The elders of those 12 tribes. Moses just tell them, then they would just tell the rest to fight. They were just to go, follow Moses. But in Jethro's case, when Jethro make suggestion, has nothing to do with war. It was thing to do with counseling. When people have problems, you understand what I'm saying? Instead of going to their elders, going to someone who, they all want to see Moses. Everybody want to see Moses, just like today, for example. If Brother Branham is alive, everybody want to go see Brother Branham. You believe that would happen? It would happen, isn't it? Everybody wanted to go and see Brother Branham. They would not want to see the pastor or the elders. Everybody want to go to see Brother Branham. That's for sure. That's the way it is. Is it? And if everybody see Brother Branham, you know what? You will have a long queue. If Brother Branham spent a week here in Singapore, you know what? All the people in the end time, or even the denominator come in, hear what he have to preach. They say, yeah, I want to go and see him. You know why Brother Branham would have, I don't know how many people would be located to see him a day. And in 7 days, do you think he will be able to see all these people? Everybody come to him was saying, no, I have this problem with my daughter, I have this problem with my son, I have this problem with my husband, my wife, my colleague, what shall I do, and this and that, this and that. I know I have a need of healing, you know, I have this and that. You know, everybody will have something. And you know what? Brother Ben will be tied up. And that's what happened in the case of Moses. People have problems. They want to see Moses, missing Moses. They don't want to go and consult the elders or anything. So finally, Jethro said, this would not do. You have to organize this. The people go and counsel. And only the main thing that need and the most important urgent case to come up to you. You see. And that's the reason we're same as government. Is that right? We have the meet the people session. We have the social worker. Now you have a social problem, you don't go all the way to see the president, do you? Huh? If you did a job, you don't go all the way to see the president or the prime minister. That's for sure. You see? But we know when the prime minister or the president said, yes, we're going to go and fight and so on, the thing is passed down. And everybody follow the chain of command. Is already there. Automatically we know what to do. You see? So that's a lot of people that would disagree with the number of people that came out of Egypt. But we know that after Moses did what he had done, and God took him home, and God said, he's already dead. Now, arise up and go over this Jordan. The Jordan crossing is very important. The same thing with us today as Christian, as believer. We need to cross Jordan. We need to cross Jordan. When we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, we crossed Jordan, so to speak. Yes, we crossed Jordan from the old life to the new life. But now here is a choice made that we need to cross Jordan when we come, because we were trapped in this site where before we ever hear the message. We were trapped in a system. You know. So now we came out of Egypt. Or we came out of the system that binds us. They put us in a bondage of tradition. And here we have a messenger, Brother Branham, to point us to go into the Jordan, to go across Jordan. He not only just take us out, put us out with a message. He said, you need to cross Jordan. God will not allow me to cross, but you need to cross Jordan, so to speak. Spiritually. You see. You know, and so, we after Brother Branham died, just as Moses died, some leader has to come out. And you know, here we have not just Joshua as a leader, but besides Joshua, there was a man called Caleb. And you all know that, don't you? There is a man who was called Caleb. And the word Caleb, as I said, it means yep. It's the sound of a happy puppy. A sound of a dog. The yapping of a dog. And you know the relationship between a man and his dog? Huh? The dog, when the master wants to do something, the dog was happy or agree, well, yep, always bouncing up and down and jumping up and down. And that is to say that when God chose Joshua, Caleb agrees with it. And Caleb represents the church, those that agree with the ministry of Joshua. And there is a Joshua in the ministry, and there will be a people that agree with this Joshua in the ministry, so to speak now. And so it was under this leadership that God took the people into Jordan, conquered Jordan, divided it, and make people to settle down in Jordan. So we are this type today. And people who fail to see it, you know what, they only are just a mess. They're just so sorry to say. Like I said on Friday, I shared with you on Friday, those around, there was this thing that was on the YouTube. The news went up and I got it in my email, but I already know what was the stand of Brother Joseph Branham. Because already a couple of years ago he had this news that goes out, here I stand, what he believed. And he forbid people to print Brother Branham's book, except the voice of God have the right, copyright, and all this issue. So there were a lot of people that were very upset with the way he took this issue. But, you know, I got this email where I was referred to a clip on the YouTube where I saw what he spoke, and then I already realized that, but I was also given, I followed a link to another website called WNB1.com or .org. And where you see, of course, that they have some of these various clips of video of Brother Billy Joseph Branham, where he make his stand He said, yes, we believe that there is one absolute. And the absolute is the Bible. But we have an absolute, and that's Brother Branham. And Brother Branham had the word of God, he is the absolute, and so on. So Brother Branham became the absolute. So now, just lately, I received, a few days ago, Wednesday, I believe it was, when this email came in, which was forwarded by some brothers to others. And so that was a response. When I read this, I don't usually respond to all these opinions of all these believers out there. They can have all their opinion. But here was a response of a pastor to this man who sent up the email to him. And he forwarded it to everybody. And his reply was this. He said, I do not believe Brother Ben was the absolute. You know. And I believe that he was just an absolute. But why do this man have to post the video on the YouTube? You know, he is after all a brother in Christ. He is after all a believer in end time message. And I said, oh my dear, everybody is a believer in end time message is your brother. Don't forget that there are in end time message devilish believers. You know, people want to take a neutral stand. I don't take neutral stand. I have to make a confession of what is truth. I don't take neutral stand. For what truth they speak it. But of course, as Brother Branham said, you know, he said that we don't condemn people. But he said, you know what, I have to hit up against the serpent nature. I have to hit up against the serpent. He said, I can, if a Muslim come to me or a Hindu come to me and say, pray for me, I will pray for them. Brother Ram said, that's true. I was in Nigeria when I was crossing the border and a customer officer was trying to get some money from me, you know. You know, I told him, I just came through here, I'm just a missionary. And all of a sudden, these are my friend who is taking me across. And he said, oh, okay, you pray for me then, okay. You know, and I said, you believe it? No, I'm a Muslim. You pray for me, you know, ask your God to bless me. He said, okay. So I pray for him right there. If a Muslim want you to pray for them. Why? That's a privilege to know that God is greater than he is God. If a Hindu asks you to pray for them, pray for them. And that's what Brother Branham said. We don't condemn people for what they believe. But he said, I have to hit against the serpent. The people that are entertaining it, you know that? And it's so sad. Everybody wants everybody to be a brother. You might say, hey, the Pope is a brother. Isn't it? Because he holds to the Bible. Yeah, I mean, all men are brother in the sense of the word. But not all believers are holding to the truth. And we cannot take a neutral stand. Exposed, they say, he doesn't agree with exposing it. Yeah, we have to expose. Jesus Christ went up there, the Pharisees down there, huh? He was preaching, and every time he was preaching, the common people barely hear him, but the Pharisees were standing there, and when they started to attack him in front of the whole crowd of people, Jesus rebuked them. And mind you, he not only rebuked them, he cursed them. Is that alright? What unto you, snake, you vipers? And he told them the truth. You! Go over the world, travel overseas, over mountain valleys, and you proselyte the people. And you make them twofold a child of hell worse than you. You just think about it. And that's to say that when people are being trapped, proselyted by this pharisaical spirit, they are worse than the Pharisees. Do you know? So if they are being deceived, my goodness, you're worse than them. Because you know what? The tendency is that you repeat what they say. You're just like a parrot. Not knowing what you're saying. Brother Branham never asked us to be parrot of what he said. He said, don't say what I said, say what I meant. It's simple as that. Is that right? So when you say what Brother Branham he said, it's one good thing. But you know one thing, when people start quoting Brahma and make a picture of something which is non-scriptural and then give it to the people and the rest of the congregation repeat what the pastor said and thinking that what the pastor said was true, they even check out the scripture. In the end, that's a deceptive spirit that condemns you version you are. We take heed to the word of God, which Jesus Christ already warned. Many have come to me in the last day saying, Lord, I've done this and done that. It works in iniquity. As long as it's not in the word of God, it is not of God. So we need to watch. Be very, very careful. You understand that? So, you know, we make a stand, and here we have to. We come out of Egypt, we come out of that system. Now, we have to cross River Jordan. And the prophet's gone. Moses gone. Joshua come out. God raised up the Joshua ministry. And this is the ministry that takes you over the Jordan and set you down in that land. Set you down in the promised word of God, so to speak. Now, you understand? Okay? Now, as you know, he says, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And the true ministry will always be. God will watch over, God watches over His gift. You know, He will not fail us as far as the word is concerned. You know. And it's so important to be, as I said about the 3M, we need to be sober. We need to mind what we mind are the things of God. If we don't mind the things of God, we are not sober, then you know why we get twisted up. And when we are stable in the word of God, God will always be there, because we know God is in His word. Is that right? God is in His own word. He's not obligated to you, He's not obligated to me, but He is obligated to His own word. You understand that? You cannot argue with Jesus and say, you know, I believe in you. And you cannot tell him, Father, I'm your son, do you know? Hey, son, daughter, sometimes many of them are just not following what the instruction of the father, isn't it? Huh? And they go out, mess themselves up, and they come back to the father, mother, and say, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. It's easy to say yes, but have you been obedient to the word of the Lord? You know, if you come back to God and repent, that's one thing. But don't just say, I'm a son of God. I say, Lord, I talk to God as if, you know, He's obligated to you. He's not. Lord, Lord, I've done this in your name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. Oh, come on. It's not possible they don't know me. I use your name. When I cast out the devil fly off. How can it not be that you do not know me? Jesus says, I never know you. You see, because He's only obligated to His word. How you, the word that comes into your hand, what would you do with Jesus called the Christ? Always think about it. What will you do with Jesus called the Christ? You heard the word, what would you do with the word? It's important. Especially now we are living in the condition that we are living in. Not just watching, you know, all this prophecy coming to pass. What's going to happen in America? What happened to Europe? What's going to happen to this world? We see this crazy world. You know. All signs are being fulfilled. All is prevailing. You know, God is waking us up. God is making us to see this. As I said, some people believe that Jesus Christ is not. There was some on the internet. They believe that Jesus Christ will come back in the next 30 years. Some estimated, I don't know how they have, but why they got this. They said somewhere in the chronology there was a messed up. And so we are still, the earth is still very young. We have another 30 something years to go before the termination of the church age. By that time I'm not here. And I'm certainly not interested in what he's saying. You know, you see, 30-something years ahead of us is too far. But he believed that. But yet we look at the signs and all this to fulfill. How could there be another 30-odd years to go? Huh? The earth is going to, the earth is literally trying to blow itself up. The earth is sick. Remember the cartoon that I have with the earth with the thermometer in his mouth? Really sick of. You know, he's having a fever. And that's why he's spitting up all those heat all over the world. He has a running nose. And all this tornado, all these eyes, and this melting waters, and you know, melting snows all over the world. You know, it's crazy. And he's shivering. That's why the earth had a quake. Too many things happening. Not by coincidence. If the earth, if God doesn't intervene, the whole earth will not be, there will not be saved. So God promises, but shall only be thou strong, very courageous, and that's why we make a stand. You know, all the year that I preached from 71 and I came to message and almost got trapped in Brahminism, I realized that. You know, I know it's gonna be easy, but take the stand. Be courageous. You know, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing. Just be faithful to the word of God. That's all you need to do. Like Moses was faithful, so was Joshua, so were so many of the prophets of old and apostles. They had just to be faithful to the word, and you all have to be faithful. Just like Mary was faithful. Just like Martha was faithful. Just like this woman at the well, she was faithful. Having the word, she ran to the village and said, come, come. Come see this man who tells me everything. You know, faithful to what the word of God says. Wherever we have the little mouth, just be faithful to it. So, but again, I'm not a preacher. No, of course you're not all a preacher. If all of us are preachers, then who's going to listen? Huh? Of course we're all not preachers. But there is something that we have that we can testify to. So, let us do all this. And that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Now, it's all the law. Now, you know, it's talking about the law. Do you know this first five book of Moses, the Jews always concerning the law. Of course, it's talking about creation, it's talking about the covenant, it talks about many things. You see? And Joshua was told to remember all those things. Is that what, you understand what he said? And the law and all those, what they call the ordinances and all this must be kept. But of course, those things are not for us today. But still, the whole Bible to us is the law of God. You see, and that which the prophet of Abraham brought to us, you must remember, he's pointing us back to the word, you must remember that there are certain things that he tells us are very clear, you know, which we need to do, let us do it. You get what I'm saying? And he said, let us remember, do that, and turn not to the right, nor to the left, sure. You see, what is the central path? Huh? What is the central path When he said, don't go to the left, nor to the right, what is the center path of this life that we have? The highway of glory is the word of God. That's only one path, one straight road, the center. We don't deviate to the left, nor to the right. Huh? We don't go to the extreme to say we take the Old Testament, or go to the extreme only in the New Testament, like some people, they don't accept the Old Testament. No, we must remember to keep them all in balance. Remember what Abraham said. Remember even what Luther said. Remember even what John Wesley said. They are still good for us in the thing that they say. Is that right? But the message of this hour has pointed us back to the Word. And that's the highway, that's the one thing that we must remember to hold on to. Don't go into the extreme. The Wesleyan, they go of course Wesley all the way. And the Branham will go to Abraham all the way. But we have one central path on this road to glory, and that is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let us not deviate from that. That thou may prosper wherever you go. This book shall not depart from you. Now he says in verse 8, observe to do according to all that is written therein. All that is written therein. Not all that Moses said. We all have only one book here, right? It's not all that which Moses said. Moses has said many things. More than just five books that he wrote. You agree with that? Obviously. So did Brother Branham. There are many things that he said which are not even on magnetic tape. Alright? But it's not the same whether it's on magnetic tape or not. It's something that is written that is inspired. And the books of Brother Branham, they are all transcribed from tape. Yes, the message are inspired. Every message he preaches should be inspired. We all believe that. But when we talk about inspiration, we ask about is that, are those words, every word, are they in breath of God? Which is not true. Not every word of a person can be in breath of God. The only word ever used to be in breath of God is this scripture. What Paul said. All scripture is given by inspiration. Means to say, the only one word ever appear only one time. All scripture is in breath of God. That is to say, when the apostles and the prophet were writing this Bible, they didn't realize what they were writing, but God was breathing in life. You know, while they wrote, not realizing that they were under anointing. Do you realize that? Huh? When Paul wrote in the Corinthian letter, he was heavy-hearted to hear what the thing was going on in that church. He prayed about it, and he prayed for them. He sat down and took a pen and started to write. And before he wrote, he meditated, what am I going to say to them? Is that right? And so as God began to deal with his mind, he wrote. And every word that he wrote, God was actually breathing in life into the word, in which God selected without him realizing that he was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know that? Paul didn't know that he was writing scriptures. He was just giving out specific instruction because he was led of the Lord. That's why some place out of the scripture he said, I, not the Lord. Remember? He said, I, not the Lord. He didn't know, of course, that it was what God wanted him to write. He says, it is I, not the Lord. You see. And so, when we talk about in-breath, the Bible says inspiration is actually the word should be written as, translated as in-breath. All scripture is in-breath of God. There is no other scripture on this earth that is in breath. Scripture means writing, huh? You understand that? There is only one scripture that is sacred, and there is a sacred scripture which we call the Bible. There are other scriptures in other religion, but they are not in breath. Huh? And we can say all preachers who are anointed of God to deliver a message, they are inspired, the message are inspired, they are under anointing, but they are, every word that come up from the mouth are not in breath. Do you understand that? That's a whole different thing when we come to that. But that's why the Branhamites have been arguing with me. Do you believe, Brother Gale, that every message of Brother Bab is inspired of God? I said, yes. And the same thing as the Bible was inspired and as Brother Bab was inspired, so they are the same. You know, come on. You don't use word like that. Look into what the Bible used. They are specific. The Bible said in breath. Now you cannot say, if you ask me, Brother Gale, is Brother Bram's, all of Brother Bram's message in breath of God? I would say no. Capital I, capital O. No. You understand? But if they are inspired, I say yes. Was he under anointing when he preached? Yes. You understand that? Because he was God's anointed one. So he has to be anointed to say things which God gave it to him. But if God wants to have another in-breath scripture, then we are in trouble. Because here we have a complete in-breath scripture already. And you take all that power of spoken word book and make it in-breath, then brothers and sisters, you have added to the word of God. You understand that? Then you have made God a liar because he said that you cannot add to this. Is that right? You cannot add to the Holy Scripture that is already given. Alright, so let's just continue now. Verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you, vesture, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan. Go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God gave you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to the half-tribes of Manasseh, spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, promised you, saying, the Lord your God have given you rest, and have given you this land. Your wives, little ones, cattle, shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, that is on the eastern side of Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. Until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he has given you. And they also have possessed the land, which the Lord your God gave them. Then you shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy which Moses, the Lord's servants, gave you on this side Jordan, toward the sun rising, which is the eastern side. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou command us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commanded him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Now look at it here. What they say. Verse 17. According as you hearken to Moses in all things, so we will hearken unto you, only that the Lord thy God be with you. That is to say, if God is the Lord, as long as God is with you, we will follow you. As long as the Lord is on your side and speak that you spoke the truth according to the Lord, we will follow. No, you don't speak on your own. Now that's the reason why we have a lot of preachers that speak on their own. Because there's no pattern in the scripture of the thing that they do. And it's scary today. What we see, of course, in charismatics is a whole lot of it. Right? Alright. Now, you know, just for a moment. Israel have a lot of problems. Now, we read all the problems that they had under Moses. And we were going to read a lot under Joshua too. Because you see what? They were not changed. There are some that will not want to change. Is that right? Problems. Problems are always there. So what do we do with problems? So look at Jonah. We all know this problem of Jonah. We all sing the song, Jonah, Jonah, have you heard? Say the Lord, go preach my word. You know, God told Jonah to go. To Nineveh. You know, to preach to them. Jonah says, what? You've got to be kidding, Lord. Those are wicked people. They're bloody, bloody wicked. And I say, yeah, I know they're bloody wicked. They have a lot of blood in their hand. They kill, they cheat, they lie and all that. But I ask you to go preach the gospel to them. You know what? Jonah thinks that they won't change. Huh? Sometimes in our opinion, certain people won't change. So Jonah, what did Jonah do? Took a ship and go over the other side, opposite direction from Nineveh. To try to get as far away as possible. You know, in those days, that he thought that the whole world was very big. That he could get lost out there. But today, you know what? The world looks so small. Sometimes I wonder if I'm going to get lost somewhere, I'll still be far anyway. They got satellite tracking me down everywhere. Is that alright? Sure, there's nowhere to run. You try to get out of Singapore, you know you got a passport, you know that you have exit. If I were to travel and fly over to the Philippines and I want to get lost and you know somewhere, how do I get lost? I only can get lost in the Philippines, but sooner or later some brother going to find me someplace. I can't get lost. You know what, if I don't, you know, and then people say, oh, okay, they all be news, we're going out and they say, oh, Brother Gant is lost. But I sent him to the airport and how come he's not in Singapore? And everybody will go and the news will pass and sooner or later, oh, they'll find me. But how do I get out of the Philippines without showing that I was not in Philippines? You know, that I didn't get out of the Philippines. Is that possible? I have ordered my passport stamp and there must be an exit, right? There must be a record on the computer. Yes, he has flown out of Singapore. How do you get lost? But you know, Jonah thought in those times, of course, you don't need passport. Huh? Practically, there's a lot of countries, don't even realize passport, you've got a population like getting small. You see. So Jonah tried to get lost. Yeah, he got lost. You know, he took the ship and you know what? You know, Jonah, he realized, Jonah was a sincere person. You know, we always say Jonah is a bad name. He's a Jonah, but Jonah is a very good name. Remember that. Next time you have a child, any one of you call it Jonah. It's good, it's a good name. And you look at Jonah when he got aboard the ship and there was this storm coming. Hey, you know, the people on board the ship, they were not believers of Yahweh. They know something is wrong here somewhere. And Jonah realized it was the cause of the problem. You know. And you know, Jonah said, okay, I'm the one, I'm the problem. That's good. Have you ever considered that when your problems start? Have you ever looked at yourself and said, I'm the cause of the problem. I'm guilty of it. You know, instead of saying, no, I'm not a problem, you are the problem, somebody else is a problem, our government is a problem, my office boss is a problem, everybody else is a problem, not me. When everybody in the ship tell you, what's going on? This is not usual. These storms are not usual at this time of the year. You know. So they know somebody is here that's not be here. You know. So, Jonah said, I'm the one. Throw me overboard. You know, they're all very happy. So here is a big, there's a problem. Let's get rid of the problem. And so they throw Jonah overboard. you know. And Jonah thought that he's going to go anyway. So after all, he's running away from God, get lost. He'd be lost. But he threw overboard, you know, here comes a big whale and a ship, a big fish, at him. Swallow him up. Show him a hole. And Jonah went to the belly of the whale and he was in darkness. You know, he at least got 3 days to think about it. You know, to think about it. Sometimes, you know what? God bring us to a place where we need to think about it. We need to think what happened. What have we done wrong? You know what I mean? Perhaps. What are we going through? You see? And it was good that Jonah meditate. And he repent inside there. In the belly of the whale. You know? And of course, the whale gets sick because of his repentance. Because after all, when you get... When people... You know, after all, you got a good meal. You know, the Satan wants us to get away from God. He doesn't want us to repent. Isn't it? But you know, the same thing. The fish had a good meal, but he repented and it was so bitter to the whale that he threw him out. Threw him out onto the shore and finally he made his way to Nineveh and preached the gospel. And there were people saved. Can we not do the same? That if there is a problem, we are the cause of the problem, say, Lord, I'm the problem. So don't run away from it. But you know what happened? Always in many cases in the scriptures, the children of Israel, sometimes they are not repentant. And God had to do drastic action, even like this day, in the days of Korah and Dathan. To open up the whole, the earth and swallow them up whole, isn't it? You know? That's why sometimes it's good for us to fall into God's hand and say, Lord, have mercy. Rather than try to defend ourselves and say we are not guilty, we can get into more trouble. Don't heap sin upon sin, sin upon sin. Let us remember our life before the Lord. So, when we look at this now in the book of chapter 2 of Joshua, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. Now here you have, how many of you are using NIV? Anybody reading NIV here? No. If you read NIV, NIV give you a very bad interpretation. I was confused by NIV. It says what? In NIV they say that Joshua secretly sent them out. Is that right? Read it. You see that secretly sent out is different. Secretly sent out means that you don't want to let the people know. But you know he sent out two men to secretly spy out the land, which is different. So sometimes the translation, the NIV has sometimes very, in fact many bad translation in NIV. You know. Alright, so Joshua actually sent out two men to spy secretly, spy out the land secretly, like the first 12 that were sent by Moses. Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rechab, or Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said, thus, there came men unto me, but I wished not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I do not know. Pursue after them quickly, for maybe you overtake them. But she have brought them up to the roof of the house and hit them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after the spies the way to Jordan unto the forts. And as soon as their which pursued after them were gone, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And when ye did unto the what you did unto the king, two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Yahweh your Elohim, he is God in heaven above, and in earth beneath. And therefore I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token. And that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, and all that they have, and deliver our life from death. And the man answered her, our life is for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by the court through the window, for her house was upon the town hall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you into the mountain, lest the pursuer meet you, and hid yourself there 3 days, until the pursuer be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And the man said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou make us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house unto the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thy oath which thou hast made us to swear. And he said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went, and they came unto the mountain, abode there 3 days, until the pursuer will return. And the pursuer sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and went to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now here is a very good type. Here we see Rehob. Now you know God told Moses, and that was passed down to Joshua, when you come over to this land, after you cross Jordan, don't ever make any covenant with any inhabitants of the land. The Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, the Girgashite, the Hittite, the Havite, there are seven of them. Don't make any covenant with them. Because when you do that, I will not be with you. Because you're going to go after other gods and so on and so forth. But so who is Rehob? We have no idea who Rehob is. We don't know whether she was a Canaanite, whether she was of giant's blood or not. We have no idea. But obviously, she must be inhabitants there, migrants from some other country. Because she plays a part in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ too. You see. And here at least there was a woman who had a revelation of what happened. And you know, here she was saying that, you know, on this side, on the eastern side, you fought this great battle against the giant king of Shihon and Og. And because we heard of that, you know, our house melt. Even when how the God took you out, your God took you out of Egypt and stopped the Red Sea, open up the Red Sea for you to cross. We heard all these things, you know. So make a covenant with them. Make a covenant with these two spies. Asking them that when you come into our land, of course they know that they're going to come. The people over this side of Jordan, western side of Jordan, knew that there is a campaign going on among the Israelites, that they are going to come take this land. You know. So she make them say, you promised me that no harm will come to my father, mother, my brother, sisters, you know. And they say, okay, as long as they are in their house, and bind this scarlet thread upon the window. Why a scarlet thread? A significance. You know what a thread is? You know, there's a song we sing, may the circle be unbroken. May the circle be unbroken. You know, we need to be always at this circle where the scarlet thread of Christ's blood will always bind us together as one. And this scarlet thread represents the binding, the blood. We're all born of one blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I identify with you. I identify because you're all born. Is that right? Isn't that right? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because He shed that blood, His Spirit was given. And we are all tied together by the one blood. You see? So there is a great significance here because of that salvation that is promised here, type that Rahab and his family and her family would be saved. Amen. All right. Now, do you see the man here? Of course, let me just show you where Jericho is. Just spy out the land. Here we have the Dead Sea. Now, the children of Israel were here in Shittim. All right. The two spies cross over here to spy out Jericho. Jericho is probably about something like 8 kilometers away from the River Jordan. Now, when they came into this city, of course, they were hit by this woman, Rahab, and the spy was fooled by her, that they ran out towards, you know, the north. And this is where the fort is. This is the fort area. This is the river, Jabbok River. And of course, River Jordan goes all the way north to the Sea of Galilee, and even all the way north of Sea of Galilee, because there was a big tributary. The water flow into the Sea of Galilee, then flow out of Sea of Galilee, down towards the Dead Sea. So, from where they were in Jericho, towards the fort, it's roughly about 26 kilometers away. You know, that's kind of far, isn't it? They've gone all the way up there, and then came back. Because there's 3 days, wait for 3 days, you know. So it is only after that they came back that they hid themselves somewhere and then they returned back. Alright, let's go over now to chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning. I like this because here, in this passage of the Bible or the books of Joshua, you read many times that all the battle fought always fought in the morning. And all the major event that happens in the morning. You will notice that. Really, you will notice that. You cannot help but notice they rose up early in the morning. Early in the morning. Early in the morning. As compared to Moses, when God brought them out of Egypt, it was a night time. It was very gloomy. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Just like Jonah, when he was trapped in the belly of the whale, all he see was darkness. When he was thrown out of the belly's whale onto the shore, he says, "Hallelujah, I am the light." So we don't want to be in the darkness. But Israel was in the darkness, under Egypt. And so when God performed all that, now, God has a plan and a purpose. When He worked out some plan, He always showed some pictures. And so when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, the very night before they came out of Egypt, you know they were told to take a Passover? Yeah. See, it was a gloomy time. There was a lot of sadness, a lot of blood. Everybody was feeling of death. That ain't you going to pass and so on. Then they came out of Egypt throughout the whole night. You see? And what happened? Because of their disobedience, there was a lot of problems. Because you know what? They have not come to the revelation of it yet. So they all died out in the wilderness. All those men, 20 at the birth, who do not believe in what God had promised. They all died out in the wilderness. So it was a gloomy time. You know. But now, to cross over Jordan, God wanted better to be fought in the daytime. Now, in any common sense, we know at war, in any battle fought, well, most of the soldiers will go out in the night. Huh? To recce in the night, to spy out everything in the night, to try to sneak in the night and go to the camp and to capture some whatever or whatever they have to do anyway, in any battle. Usually nighttime is a cover of darkness, you see. But here's a battle that God won't have them, children of Israel, fought in the daytime. And so likewise, a brother Branham came. You know, the seventh church age, the last church age is an age where there's hardly any light. Remember that? Brother Branham just drew a little white spot in that moon, the chart that he drew the circle of the moon. Just a little white spot. He said, Brother Branham said, practically there's nothing, he said. You see? So it was a time of darkness that the messenger came with the message to get the people out. Now when we come out of the system, now we are going into the promised word of God. So under the Joshua ministry, we go into the promised word of God. So we came out now, we are no longer in the darkness. But in the daytime, we have to take the promise of God and declare it. And fight the good fight and be courageous and be strong. You know, not be a weakling. Not to take, you know what we say, neutral stand. There is no neutral stand. You cannot sit on the fence. You know what I'm saying, huh? There is no fence sitter in God's kingdom. Either you are in or you are out. Either you are on that side or this side. Not the fence sitter. You see. You've got to declare the truth and state the truth. And Joshua rose early in the morning and they removed from Shittim. Now from Shittim here, which is near Mount Nebo, just a little north of Mount Nebo, they moved. They're going to move closer to the River Jordan now. Just going to move a little bit closer. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. So they moved a little closer towards Jordan now. And he and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they passed over. Now remember, 600,000. More than 600,000 of those men of war. They could not believe what God promised. So they all died out in those 40 years. But those are older who are not men of war. And they don't believe, they also died out there. All those that could not believe, they all died out there. All those men. Now the 40 year passed, a population of say, we don't say 4 to 6 million. We say 4 million. So after 40 year passed with all those dying out, and 40 years later, how many, what's the population size? Would the population still remain about 4 million in 40 years? Or maybe less? Unless they make it 3 million. Because after all, 600,000 men of war, plus those are not men of war who doesn't believe, they all died out. Huh? So the replacement cannot be that fast, could it? Let's say, okay, let's make it 3 million to 4 million. Anyway, let's say make it remain around there. Somewhat. Interesting. So now, our island here, Singapore, is very small. It's a little red dot. We have 4.5 million. Right? Look very big in there. Everywhere we go, you see all heads and bodies and legs moving. And hands moving. That's all we see. A sea of people. Swimming up there. That's a lot. So just think that if Israel was this big, and you look at the map. Now, for all the people to be there, that's kind of a lot, huh? You know what I mean? A lot of people. All waiting to cross the River Jordan. Right. Now, see what he says. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officer went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there will be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits, my measure, 2,000 cubits. Well, some say the cubit is about 18, which is, I don't believe it's true, it's either 20 or 25. 25 is a long cubit, 20 is the average cubit, which is quite common that was used before the flood. But after the flood, with all the different cultures, some point a little longer. You know what is very interesting? You know, if I am a tailor, not tailor, I sell clothing, bales of cloth. And I'm a short man, 4 feet tall. And here comes a man who is 6 feet tall, coming to buy. Say, I want five cubits of cloth from you. Okay, I'll say, okay, I'll measure it. I use my arm. My arm is going to be very short, isn't it? The man said, no, use my arm. Fellow is 6 feet, maybe 7 feet. His arm is a whole lot longer. So how did the span go about it? How do the people use measurement? Whose arm is it? You know what I mean? Huh? I have no idea how that goes about in those days in the culture. But it is estimated that one cubit is about 20 inch. So about this, then we would have 2,000 cubit is about 3,000 feet. And it's roughly about 1 kilometer. So it says, the ark, when you see the ark, think of the space between the ark and all the congregation shall be about 1 kilometer. Kilometer is very far, but in the plain you can see it. You know what I mean? Keep that distance. That 2,000 cubit is actually the cubit of grace. Do you understand? And which God is showing us, huh? That there will be this 2,000 cubit of grace which God is going to provide. And we are living in a grace age of 2,000 years. That's what the number usually signifies. Don't come near unto it that you may know the way by which you may go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people, And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel. And they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the brink of the river of water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come near and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that you will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites. Here are the seven nations. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Havites, the Perizzites, and the Gigabite, and the Gigashite, and the Amorites, and the Jebusite. Now all the sites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the King of the Lord of all the earth pass over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe of men. And it shall come to pass as soon as the sword, the feet of the priest that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the water that comes down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the Ark were deep in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflow all his banks all the time of harvest, that the water which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea fell and was cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, I want to show you, look at this map. Now, in the year past, when I studied the Bible, we don't normally go and figure that out. You know, we just, hey, that's a very fantastic miracle. But let's just show you what happened. The river Jordan goes all the way out. It's the water of this river comes from all the tributaries from this mountain of Lebanon, pour into this river, and goes all the way down to the Dead Sea. And after Dead Sea, it still goes right down. The water comes up and goes right down. Okay, now, during this time of the journey, they're going to cross the river Jordan. Do you know what year, time of the year that was? That was in the time of March. Because later on when we cross over, you know, they were circumcised. They actually crossed over on the tent of Abib. Okay, now, we realize this, then it was around the month of March. And now this is springtime. You understand? Now, springtime, the snow was melting in the mountain. Now, that's a whole lot of water. A whole lot of water coming up from the mountains and all that into this river. Now, God wanted to turn Israel across during that time to prove that it's a great miracle. Because you don't want to go, you know, you people on the cross, you know, the better time to cross perhaps is in maybe summer or maybe near autumn when there's not much as, you know, rainfall or something like that, you know. Maybe shallow ground, you know, something like that. But God wanted the children of Israel to cross over on dry land. On dry land, you see. So now it says that we know. When the people of the children of Israel got ready to cross, they were ready to cross. They all stood behind the Ark of the Covenant, which was 1 kilometer in front of them. And as soon as the priest feet touches the water on edge, the water retreated. Now, how does this happen? The Bible, you look at it, says it right here. In chapter 3, and it says in verse 16, the water that came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far from the city Adam. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea fell, and they were cut off. So what we have is Adam, the city of Adam, is here. At this fort. You see this river Jordan that comes and feeds also into this river Jordan, all the way down. Okay? So Adam is here, the city. So somewhere at that ford, God caused something to block the water. And the only thing that we know scientifically that could happen was a landslide. Okay? So there was a landslide that blocked the water here. So the water cannot come down towards the Dead Sea. Now another interesting point is this. I'll show you that. If we look at a cross section, we look at a cross section of the River Jordan. Now, if we take the River Jordan here, this is a cross section, alright? No, River Jordan is 200 meters below sea level. So what we have is a sea level here. So this river is 200 meters below sea level. And it ends up at the Dead Sea. Collect the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is 400 meters below sea level. Alright? So all the water collects from here, comes down to this river. So, now, if this is the river, the bottoms of the river perhaps could be like this. You know what I'm talking about? That is that the bottom river is never flat. Some places they are deep. But the River Jordan average width is about 1.2 kilometers. Alright? Average width. I mean some area are further apart, wider. Some area are about narrow and probably around 500 meters or half a kilometer. Do you understand what I mean? So now, somewhere at this city of Adam, there was a landslide. And then the landslide blocks the water from coming down. Okay? Somewhere, block it. So what happened to the water? There's no water here. So the water that is in this level cannot in any way flow on top. And so this part here will be dry land. You know what I'm saying now? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You see? So the water will have to be collected somewhere and will not go over this piece of land because there's not enough water to cause it to flow over. So the landslide there, it's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. We read the Bible said God sent fire down from heaven. Brimstone fire from heaven. Is that right? People think that God threw fire on literally from heaven. Every miracle is scientifically proven in the Bible, could be proven scientifically in the Bible. How was the Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? It was destroyed because there was this volcano under that Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea, south of Dead Sea, the Sodom and Gomorrah was actually at the southern part. There's a lot of brimstone, there was this volcanic action, and the whole thing blew up real high into the air. And then it comes down. And all the salt and all this, that's why Lot's wife, standing there too long, was covered with salt, became a pillar of salt. And the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. Don't think that her flesh became a pillar of salt. She was covered by salt. The language is talking like this. So you need to understand what language is. Don't think that she just freezes and into a piece of salt. No, not at all. If you go down to the Dead Sea this time of the year, you can go and find. There are certain places where there's little pillar there, there's still salt. If you knock it off and you still find that there's actually some part actually rocks. It's really covered, you see. You understand that? Alright? Same thing with the explanation of Red Sea. You know? So there is always something to block upstream so the water cannot flow downstream. So it becomes a wall of water on one side, a collection, a heap of water. And that's what the Bible used the word here in verse 16. And those that came down toward the sea, verse 16, that the water which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarephath. And those that came down toward the sea, even the salt sea, failed and was cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. So now the other thing is interesting is that when we look at it, how the children of Israel crossed, in just 5 minutes, let me say this. How do you think that the children of Israel crossed over the River Jordan? Now with a population of 3 to 4 million, they're all lining up on this side, ready to cross. Now, when I was trying to figure out, say, how did they ever cross? How long did it take to cross? 4 million people, let's say. How did they cross over the River Jordan? How long did it take to cross the River Jordan? Singapore is 4.5. Let's all cross to Malaysia, to JB, all of us. And they say the causeway is very big. Huh? Stretched from the east to the west. How long does it take for all the people to cross? So, when we look at it, if we have the children of Israel lined up, let's say 400 or 500 abreast, with 2 meters apart, front and back. Let's say we have 400, we have 400 people abreast, and they're 2 meters apart. How long would it be? You take 4 million, divide by that. How long would be the length of it to the end? How many is it? Have you thought of it? 400 divided by 4 million, what you get? 10,000 length, right? Am I not right? And that is how many? Come on. Huh? 20 km. 15, 20, 12 km. Depends on whatever you want to look at it. However you want to estimate about the how long the abreast is. You know, it roughly takes about less than 6 hours. I will estimate that 3 to 6 hours is possible. Depends on the, you know, each column. So we take 6 hours, no more than 6 hours. And I think, let's see that they got out early in the morning at 6 a.m. Everything is prepared. By 9 a.m., the priest was already in front. And all everybody was ready to go behind. 400, 500 abreast. That's probably about, maybe, you know, 1 kilometer away from one end to the other end. Is that right? Okay, they are ready to cross. So when the priest start, okay, they march, 9 a.m., by the time 6 p.m., I mean, by the time 3 p.m., it will be finished. And I was thinking probably 6 hours. Most, I was thinking how they Christ down across from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's about 6 hours, and not more than 6 hours, they will cross over the River Jordan. And the priest will be standing in the river, holding their Ark of the Covenant for 6 hours. When everyone passes by. Everyone passes by. Young and old, cattles, sheep, goats, bullock carts. Wow, what must be quite a wonderful sight to see these masses of people exodus, you know, from one place to the other place. It's just a mass of people, you know, during the Second World War in Europe. You see the mass of the children of Israel being chased out of the country, you know, by thousands and thousands. But this is a million, you know. Let my people go. And that's what it is in Egypt. And now they have to cross over the River Jordan to claim their promised land. And I always consider it a miracle. Here we are, a small number of people, a small number of believers. And we are around the world. There are not many. As far as this message is concerned, they will stay to the truth, come back to the Word of God, and get ourselves lined up with the Word and ready to go. But one of these days, when we get up there, we will see a sea of saints out there. And everybody were rejoicing, happy, you know. Everybody just couldn't believe what happened, and everybody was just rejoicing, jumping and shouting. And alright? And that will be a wonderful sight. Looking forward to that. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you for grace. Thank you for, Lord, just looking to thy word to understand, Father. You have a plan for Israel. You have a plan for Israel. You show them your plan, Father. And throughout the ages, Lord, they struggle. Many times, many of them fail to see. And when you send John the Baptist, many fail to see too, Lord. But there is always the elect. A little group of people, though, Lord, that recognize the signs and the wonders, the prophecy being fulfilled in their days. And having seen that, they hold fast to it, Lord, that your plan, your purpose be fulfilled in their life. Here we are today, Father, that you have a plan to, Father, for us. You have passed by this way in the early 20th century. When a man came with a message for us, you sent a man so that a message be given to us that caught us out from this prostituted world of people, Lord, that build up their own image against thy very word. Instead of image of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true word of God manifest. And we are thankful, Father, that you have given us this revelation, this eyesight, spiritual eyesight, to see and recognize, Lord, what it is that you have in this generation, in this hour for us. We are thankful, Father, that you have shown us your plan and your purpose too, Father, for our life in this age. And you are unfolding more of what you are showing us, things to come. Help us to hold fast to it, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, continue to be faithful as to be strong and full of courage, just as Joshua was, Lord. The Lord will be just waiting, Lord, one day to hear the final last trump, where we'll be caught up to meet you in our Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for that we have crossed over Jordan, crossed over this difficult time, Lord, for struggling, Lord, but we managed to cross over by thy grace into thy promised word and hold fast to it. And that's why, Lord, you are able to show us and make us to see all that which you have for us. We thank you, Father. We bless you. We glorify thy name in Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.